Good evening. Remember when about 2/3 of this room was the Vandalia Church building? Right where those walls are there. Remember when that was the building? I'm showing my age. Some of you nodding your head, you're showing your age. Remember when the pulpit used to be over here? All the pews face this way, facing that direction. The Vandalia meeting would have its building packed, and it was hot. It was close to 50 years ago, and I was sitting right over there, faced that direction, between what I think was a couple farmers in suits, and it was hot. And I envied those that were in the overflow crowd. They were not on the back pews. They were outside, which was right here. They were outside without the air conditioner. The windows were open, and there were chairs set up out here in the lawn. How many remember that? And we would walk down the road to the school building for the food that they would be serving. As a child, our family has camped in the lawn, on the lawn of the church. It was probably somewhere around where you were eating a while ago. Reminiscing can be an enjoyable experience. Some of you older people are smiling a little more than the younger people scratching their head. What's he talking about? Good memories. Reminding yourself and others of the good times that you've shared. When someone smiles and begins a story, remember when? Gets your attention, doesn't it? And you're anticipating something pleasurable. You're anticipating enjoying that memory with them. Remember when you got your driver's license and Dad handed you the keys and trusted you with the family car? Remember when you asked that special girl out and she said yes? And she gave you that smile that you'll never forget? Remember when you accepted the Lord, where you were, how old you were, what building it was in? Remember who baptized you? Do you remember how you felt coming out of the water and who was there to rejoice with you? And do you remember times that you've been where someone has accepted the Lord? Do you remember being there and rejoicing for them, a family member, a friend, or just anyone accepting the Lord? Do you remember how you felt? And how you celebrated? Our memories can be a blessing. There are times we may be asked to remember things that are bad or even traumatic times, painful times of tragedy, perhaps an illness, perhaps a passing of a friend or family member. Memories and sharing those memories, sharing the memory of accepting the Lord. You know, if you're ever called to court to testify concerning a crime, this could be overwhelming, and it is something that you remember in a tragic way sometimes. It can be overwhelming as you approach the front of the courtroom near a judge and you have to tell the truth when you're testifying, and truth is a big deal. whether the world accepts it or not, truth is a big deal. And especially when we use the word testimony and when it is used in a court of law, the truth is what is expected. The true account of a person's experience or observation. Truth is a precious commodity. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." But the truth is not always accepted with open arms. When Paul writes to the Galatians and he points out that I'm afraid you're starting to become weak, he says, I am afraid for you. And in Galatians 4:16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Truth is not always easy to swallow or easy to accept. Paul shares with a mob in Jerusalem his testimony. And they listen for a little while. He gets their attention. In Acts the 22nd chapter, he starts out saying, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now." He says, "I am indeed a Jew." He says, "I am zealous towards God, as you are today. I persecuted this way to the death," speaking of those following the teaching of Christ. And they listen to his personal experience for a while. And then when they didn't like what the truth was, they stopped listening. So this is what he shared, his testimony, starting with verse 6. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near to Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light came from heaven, shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" So I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus. And there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do." And since I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hands of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, and having a good testimony with all of the Jews who dwelt there, came to me and stood and said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And that same hour I looked at him. And he said, "The God of our fathers who have chosen you, that you should know his will and see the just one, and hear the voice of his mouth, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." So I said, "Lord, you know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beaten those who believed on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Then he said to me, "Depart, for I send you far from here to the Gentiles." And they listened to him until this word. Paul was sharing the truth, his personal experience, his interaction with the Lord, and how he became a Christian, how he came to follow this way. He had had their attention until he mentioned the Gentiles. That's where the door was shut, inferring that the Gentiles would be more receptive than the Jews. Paul had a powerful testimony. But what was his purpose in sharing this? No doubt that it was his defense, but he took the opportunity to speak of Jesus. Why did he address them in the beginning as brothers and fathers? Why did he inform or confirm that he indeed was a Jew? Why did he point out that he was zealous towards God as you are today? Why did he point all this out? Because he wanted to relate to them. He wanted to be able to influence them. He wanted to share with them his testimony, his story. He wanted to affect their lives. In 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 21, Paul writes, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To those who were under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law as without the law, for being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became weak, as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." His testimony, sharing the word of God, the way he presented it, he wanted to connect with them. And then later he shares, "One thing I do," in his writings he shares this, Philippians 3:13, "One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And yes, he does put his past behind him, and he strives to please God in the future, but he also writes in 1 Corinthians 15:9, "I am the least of the apostles." In Ephesians 3:8, "To me who am less than the least of all saints." In 1 Timothy 1:13, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man." In 1 Timothy 1:15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Don't put me on a pedestal. I am real. He gave his testimonies to the Jews, and he related to them. And in his writings, he says, "My history, I put it behind me. But I will tell you who I am. I'm not hiding behind anything." He shares his story. He writes about who he is and who he has been. He's genuine. He's honest. He's open in his relationship with others. Peter testifies concerning going to the Gentiles, and it is with a positive result. He shares with the Jewish brethren in Acts, the 11th chapter. "Now the apostle and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God, and Peter came up to Jerusalem. Those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them?'" The Jews were being condemning of his actions here. But Peter shares, he testifies the whole story here, starting with Acts 11, verse 4. "But Peter explained to them in order from the beginning, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheep, let down from the heaven by four corners. And it came to me, when I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And I heard a voice say to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has at any time entered my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God has cleansed, you must not call common.' Now this was done three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood therefore in the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them. Doubting nothing, more than six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into a man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you will all you and all your household will be saved." And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as it upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should withstand God? Now they heard these things and became silent. And they glorified God, saying, "Then God has also granted the Gentiles repentance of life." After Peter's testimony of what had happened, they glorified God. Peter shared how God used him to preach to the Gentiles. Normally we think of a testimony being sharing how one comes to the Lord. Usually it refers to a story of how a person comes to God, how they understand that they have sinned and they are seeking salvation. Sharing how they made this decision to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. It may also be evidence or support the fact of our relationship with God, how God works in our lives. Our actions, our lifestyles are a testimony to us being a Christian. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How do our stories or how do our testimonies differ from those from biblical times? Well, there are statements that Paul and Peter use that would not be in our stories. "Suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me." Or, "I heard a voice saying to me." Or, "Being in a trance, I saw a vision." Now, these were true statements that Peter and Paul made. But it's not what the situation that we would expect today. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." The scripture equips us with all of the instruction that we need for today. And if anyone were to share a testimony that would contradict the Bible, the truth, it would be confusing. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to test all things and hold fast to what is good. A false testimony, or one that opposes what the Bible teaches, is distracting to say the least. But we all have had our stories, our experiences, our history before coming to Christ, how we came to Jesus and accepted him, and how God has worked in our lives, our stories. Is it appropriate for us to share these stories? In 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "Let all things be done for edification." If your story edifies, if your story promotes Jesus, share your story. How does it benefit others if we tell them our personal experiences? How does it benefit you if I tell you my experience? Perhaps you can relate. Perhaps you know. I've been there. I remember a much older brother than me. Very mild-mannered and highly regarded. And he knew that I worked at GM. He knew that I worked at the Fairfax plant. I remember working there. "You worked there? I didn't know you worked there." "I worked there. I worked in the paint department. And I had a supervisor that would continually tell me, there's a guy at the front door waiting for your job. And he kept telling me this. He says, one day I told him, you know the guy that's waiting at the front door for my job? You probably ought to go get him because you need him right now. And then he walked out. A connection was made. He knew where I worked. He had worked there. He knew what I did. He knew the environment of the job. I learned that he was a real person. He had a personality. Kind of had an attitude. He had a history. He could relate with me and my job. Those of you that are in your 60s or older, do you remember when you were in your 20s? Do you remember your 20s? Do you remember when you had that physical strength, your goals and your dreams? Do you remember your challenges and your temptations of your 20s? Were you dating? Were you married? Remember being young parents, blessed with children, but bombarded with a job, a schedule, and bills? Remember career changes, layoffs, or loss of jobs? The financial stress at times and being blessed at other times? Those of you that are 60 plus, do you remember those years? What is it that you can share with 20-year-olds? What can you share? What's your story? What connections can you make? Those of you that are in your teens and your 20s, we haven't always been old. We were all born at a very young age. We went through childhood. We went through the teenage years. We were all 20 once. We have a history. We have a personality. We have an attitude. We're real people. We have had temptations. And when we have overcome our temptations, there's more temptations waiting. We've all had times of struggle when God has pulled us through. We've all learned our lessons by making mistakes. We all have our experiences. We all have our testimony. We all have a story. I remember when a beloved brother shared a story. He had served in the Army, and apparently it was late in the night, and he was pulling guard duty at an air base, and he was driving on the runway. He prefaced his story with a deep inhale. Then he pushed his glasses up and shook his head. Oh, that poor private beside me. I don't know why I got it in my head that I needed to find out how fast that Jeep could go. I have no idea where that airplane came from. He was genuine. He was real. I'm aware of another brother sharing his story with an assembly. His history of bad choices, his questionable company, how he found himself with regrets behind bars. Was his testimony appropriate? Was it edifying? This is who I was. This is who I am. This is how I got here. Learn from my mistakes. Please, heed my warning. I believe it was appropriate. I believe it was edifying and a powerful testimony. A testimony can be your life, the light that you shine. It can be how you found the Lord and submitted your life to Him. It can be how the Lord has worked in your life. It is sharing your story. It can be communicated with an individual. It can be communicated or shared with a group. When was the last time you shared your story? Do you remember? Do you remember when you have torn down the walls of your protection and shared, made a connection with others? I know where you are. I've been there myself. Here's my story, and here's how other people helped me. Who wants to hear your story? Who can it help? Who can it encourage? Who can it edify? Romans 12 and 15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who reap. Do you remember the last time you rejoiced with someone or the last time that you wept with someone? And how could you know to weep or to rejoice if they don't share, if you don't share, if you don't have that connection? How can others respond to your life experiences if you don't share?" James 5 and 16, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another." Who can you trust? And who can trust you? For us to tear down our walls, we have to have a trusting relationship. Galatians 6 and 1 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," that's all of us, "you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you are also tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You who are spiritual, that's all of us. That's who we are. Well, then who is the man that is overtaken with a trespass? If we're all the spiritual ones, if we're the strong, who's the weak? I have seen both sides of this, and so have you. We have all had our strong times. We've all had our weaknesses. I have trusted others as I have confessed, knowing that they would pray for me, knowing that they would encourage me, and knowing that they would hold me accountable. And I have pulled some aside, and I said, "We need to talk. I know where you are. I've been there myself. How can I help?" We take our turns at being strong and being weak. Remember when somebody connected with you? Connect with someone. Remember when someone shared with you? Share with others. Remember when someone encouraged you? Encourage those around you. Share how God has worked in your life. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." Here is a brief, very brief, testimony of mine. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am not perfect, but Jesus has shared with me God's perfect plan. God's love has given me a reason to live and to please Him. And by doing my very best, He has promised me eternal life with Him. God has given us one another for us to share and encourage and edify. Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. What's your story? Remember when? Thank you.